Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, we just heard from the head coach, D'Amico Ryan's talking about Nico Collins and him no longer being with the team for the next 4 weeks. If you missed that, here is the head coach, D'Amico Ryan's, addressing the loss of Nico Collins.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that we'll, you know, not have Nico. Great player, been a great player all year for us, best receiver in the league, but he'll take the time to get healthy. He'll be back for us, so encouraged by that news. He'll be back at some point this season, and it's like always in the NFL, there's always injuries that happen in our game, and it's opportunity for other guys to step up and make the most of their opportunity. That's what the league is about. A lot of guys who have stepped in when other guys were out, they made a name for themselves and, you know, made some big plays in the league. So we're looking for the same thing for whoever it may be, guys just owning their opportunity.
All right, that's him talking about Nico Collins, the head coach, saying he'll be back at some point this year. I know he was asked, do you think it'll be just 4 weeks? He obviously said, we'll see what happens. We'll see how he responds. Right now, he's attacking rehab. So that's the latest there. Clint, I think also something to come out of this was what he had to say about Dameon Pierce. Dameon Pierce, who has missed the last four games of the season, has not played since he had his three carries and played against the Colts in week one. He returned to the practice squad. Oddly enough, Clint, he had a hamstring. And he said they look forward to having him back on the field and playing on Sunday. So it does look like at least one of the injured running backs, based off what he had to say, will be able to be on the field for them against the Patriots. Joe Mixon, who didn't practice again today, not as sure, but he said Dameon Pierce would return. So they do get some reinforcements with him, and maybe we won't see Darwe Ogunbowale getting three straight touches to start games, potentially. Maybe we'll see more to Dameon Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see kind of how they handle the running back situation. At some point in time, it's best for this football team if Darwe Ogunbowale goes back to being that Swiss Army knife that is used sparingly when needed instead of such a big part of the game plan. Love Darwe Ogunbowale, but the truth of the matter is the running back position, Joe Mixon is obviously at the top. He's a different animal. And then you've got, I think you got Cam Akers and Dameon Pierce right there in the middle of it. Then Darwe Ogunbowale is fourth at best. And you talk about getting, if Darwe Ogunbowale is getting 15 touches, I think 20 if you count the catches, I think something like that. But anyway, that's a lot of touches.
21 touches.
21 total touches. That's a lot of touches for a guy that is buried on the depth chart at the running back position and really a special teams emergency guy. It's going to be it's tough to think that this team doesn't have a better approach to those 21 touches, a better player, a more explosive player, more dynamic player to get those 21 touches. And I would think that Dameon Pierce and Cam Akers are going to give him plenty of opportunity there.
It will be interesting, Clint, to see if Dameon Pierce is full go and Joe Mixon is not. It will be interesting to see, Clint, as you said, they're going to have to run the football. Nico Collins is out. That's going to be a big thing. You talked about earlier, they're going to need to run the football. Who is it that primarily gets the ball? Because, hell, to start the year, they told us Dameon Pierce is the guy behind Joe Mixon because Cam Akers didn't even dress the first game. Then we've seen games where Cam Akers got the bulk of the carries, and then the last game, as you just mentioned, Darwe Ogunbowale got 21 touches, 15 carries in this game, this last game against the Bills. So it is a wonder, is this Dameon Pierce? Does he ultimately come in and get the most carries? Is this Cam Akers back? Is it? It'll be really interesting if there's no Joe Mixon. Obviously, if he plays, he is the lead back. But is this more Dameon Pierce, more Dare, more Cam Akers?
Well, Cam Akers isn't highly thought of. Isn't highly thought of enough to get more carries than Dare Ogunbowale. And again, not minimizing the trust and confidence and the player that Dare is, but Cam Akers is on a different level. Always has been, even after two Achilles tears, still is. Proved that Sunday, but still wasn't enough to get more carries. And so I don't know what the hell to expect. I would imagine that the bulk of carries would go, the bulk of responsibility would go to Dameon Pierce, but then you factor in hadn't played in a month. Do you want to throw him back to the Wolves and give him, you know, if you're running it well, give him 25 carries? Or do you want the plan to be out of the gate, you rotate several of those guys through there? I don't know what the plan is.
I'm intrigued to see Dameon, because there was a point where we entered the year, Clint, it was, it's Cam Akers. Cam Akers is running back too. Then in that first game against the Colts, now, as you we've said, everybody who ran the ball looked good against the Colts. He looked better against the Colts. Although it was 3 carries for 9 yards, but if you watched him, it just looked much better. And I'm intrigued to see what he looks like. Now, based off the blocking we've seen here the last couple of weeks, it feels like it would look a lot like last year. But still, I'm wondering what Dameon Pierce looks like, because we haven't gotten to see him. We haven't gotten to see him really because of the injury. And if there's no Joe Mixon, based off what you said, hell, Dare won the battle when it was just him and Cam Akers. So yeah, you would imagine Dameon Pierce would win.
Well, I mean, look, we're just at a point with this offense where, yes, we saw a large sample size of great CJ and great through the air, both productive and protecting the football. We saw a lot of that last year. But what we've seen this year, there's been moments, sure, but there's nothing consistently. I do think there's something there with Bobby Slowick moving forward. And we've talked about this. Like, there's no reason, when everybody's healthy, I'm going to preface this by saying when everybody's healthy, there's no reason for Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie to be on the field at all at that point, unless somebody's injured. If Dameon Pierce is healthy and Cam Akers are healthy, there's no reason for Dare Ogunbowale to be the feature back on this offense, right? I mean, at some point in time, and we've talked about this multiple times over the last 3-4 weeks, like at some point in time, we've got to stop with the, oh, everybody can do everything and everybody's versatile and all these guys can they know their responsibility. Sure, that's fine. But at some point in time, we've got to get the ball in the hands of our most explosive players. And whether that's the receiving group or that's the running back crew, I just don't see a game, although it did happen last week, I don't see a game where Dare Ogunbowale getting 21 touches is a good idea unless the other guys are hurt. Like, that just don't add up. That cannot be putting your best foot forward. Got you a win, thanks to your defense and your special. Got you a win, but that just cannot be your putting your best foot forward. Not as the plan. If that's how the game unfolds, cool. But that can't be the plan going in. To your point, it can't be screen and 2 runs to Dare Ogunbowale on the first 3 plays of the script. That can't be it. You're not, by design, you're not getting the football in the hands of your most explosive players. I would rather J.J. Taylor come out there and catch a screen in the first drive. I would rather something like, because at least you got the speed and the explosiveness and the twitch to make people miss and hit you head on the goalpost if you get the edge. Like, the Dare Ogunbowale stuff, the John Metchie, the Xavier Hutchinson, all that stuff is fine and dandy when guys are injured and when you're not whole. But when you're whole, when I say whole, I mean Dameon Pierce is back, and so Dare Ogunbowale's role needs to change.
Change back to where?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so we'll see. Dameon Pierce looking like he is trending towards playing again on Sunday. All right, the big news of the day, and we heard D'Amico just speak about it, losing his top receiver and the league's top receiver this year, Nico Collins. And Listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is not it is not in any way a great thing at all, a good thing at all. This is going to, in some way, hurt the Texans, obviously. As you know, the big body guy and what he has turned out to be and how productive he has been and the connection, it appears, at least through the first 4.5 games he has had with C.J. Stroud, is a serious thing. If there is a positive from this, and we kind of touched this a little bit yesterday, Clint, but I truly believe this. Through the first 5 games, I don't necessarily know if we've been seeing the best version of what C.J. Stroud is. I think we've seen a part of his bag that he clearly can have a part of his game. But I think the best part of what we've seen from C.J. Stroud, and that's with, 24, 25 games, even more than that when you add preseason or whatever, of being able to watch him, Clint, is he is like the surgeon. He is like the guy that is just picking you apart, seemingly having everything in his mind before you know it, making the right decisions, doing everything he needs to do. Like, that seemed to be the best that we've seen of CJ. And it feels like the first 5 games of the season, Clint, we've seen more of kind of holding, kind of waiting for the bigger play, waiting for, it appears at times, Nico, to come uncovered. Yeah. And even on the off-script plays, which we're seeing a lot more of those now this year because of his kind of change in philosophy. I think with him going down in the next 4 weeks or however long it is, Clint, I think we potentially get to see the surgeon kind of come back with CJ because, hey, I gotta get it out. Let me get it out. Let me make the plays. Let me get – and hopefully we potentially see that guy – and not the holding the ball, because I think that's when CJ is at his best. I think CJ clearly can make plays off script and can hold the ball and do, but I think that's where you start to bring the risk of getting yourself in trouble a little bit, like he did with the fumble, yeah, like we've seen a little bit.
Ron, you're hitting the nail on the head. With or without Nico, I just think it needs to transition back to closer to what we saw last year. There's a play that, as you're talking, I'm literally visualizing, and I'm visualizing because it was a play where the ball should have went to Dalton Schultz immediately. Right, but C.J. Stroud drops back. Last year, he would have given it to Dalton Schultz right now. Little Y option to his right side. Just a little 5-6 yard, boom, turn around right there. The backer dropped and was probably 10, 15, 10, 12 yards deep. Dalton Schultz sat at 5 or 6 yards. It would have been a quick, just bang it on his chest. You're ahead of the change, right? Well, he doesn't. And then you look up, and Tank Dell is open on the corner route over the top of Dalton Schultz. But because of the line got bundled up right in front of him, he couldn't see it. So he missed that. So he goes on to his third, to the whole left side of the field, and I think he ended up throwing a swing to his left or checking it down to the running back somewhere over hard left. But the point being is if he would have just got the football out, right? If he'd have just got the football out right now, there would have been no protection issues. He would have not taken the risk of getting hit again. I think he ended up getting hit on this play. He would have not taken the risk of getting hit again. He would not have had to get through 4 or 5 different receivers on the progression. And he's passing up. Now, not all the time, but there's a good bit of it where he's passing up that for sure, looking for some more, right?
We're seeing that a lot more this year.
Yeah, like my boy Emmett told me, never pass up for show for some more. He's doing that way too often. He's got to get the football out. I think without Nico, I think there's an emphasis put on that throughout the week, and it will shock me, actually, if we don't see more of that from Bobby Slowick and it's not just C.J. Stroud, it's Bobby Slowick as well. Bobby, like the game plan is a lot of the times is going to dictate whether that's the case or not, right? Is that's what's being preached into C.J.'s head, or are we still going, hey, man, let's try to take this shot. Let's read this high to low instead of low to high. If I'm CJ, I'm reading everything low to high. My protection hadn't been great. We can't run the football. I'm missing my best receiver, my deep threat receiver. I've got little shiftier, quicker, can't touch in a phone booth type guys underneath. I've got a tight end that's really savvy in terms of knowing when to settle and when to find that weak spot in the zone. And I'm going against a defense that's going to give me all kind of different looks. So they're going to confuse my offensive line. So I need to get the ball out. Like that should be the message to C.J. Stroud all week this week. Like, you've seen enough of the sample size of trying to do all this other stuff and trying to figure out what your identity is. Get back to what CJ did last year, playing that Tom Brady-like quarterback position. It is the most difficult, most frustrating. It looks simple and boring, but it pisses defensive backs defensive linemen off. I mean, every game.
Text line coming through. This take by Ron is trash. Watch all 22. Dude is destroying secondaries. As I said, I'm not saying that he can't do that. He has been successful. It is a part of his bag. But I'm telling you right now, like, quarterbacks are different. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, teams are scared to death once they get out of the pocket. I think Josh Allen falls into that. There are quarterbacks like Burrow, like I think CJ falls into this category, to where they'd rather you get out of the pocket. Now, you may hurt us, but they'd rather, because they feel like
they're going to make you get off your spot. They don't want you to get in a rhythm.
What defenses don't want from guys like Burrow and CJ Stroud is from them to sit back there and pick them apart.
Yeah, they don't want you in rhythm.
Pick them apart, and bam, before you even get anything, and you got guys that can run after the catch, before you even, you're just like, damn, man, there's nothing you're working. They want CJ to get out of the pocket.
Yeah.
They'd rather him do that. Not to say he can't make plays. We've seen him make plays. But now you take Nico off the field, you damn sure want him out of the pocket, because I can hit you.
Yeah.
I can strip you. You're not as athletic as those other guys. Like that, I think he scares defenses much more when he is sitting back there, boom, controlling the game.
Not even remotely close to a trash take. It's not. It's actually a great take if you think about it. Like, it's not, nobody's saying CJ can't live life on the edge. CJ has been great. I mean, far more than I expected in terms of being able to get out of the pocket and extend plays and find receivers and make throws, and even the ill-advised throws, he's made those, and he's not, at least not too many times, he's not made the ill-advised throws when they're ill, right? He's doing it when they're wide open. And so it's not a – nobody's banging CJ of, like, can't do this, you can't. CJ's capable of making throws with anybody in the league while there's a linebacker hitting him in the chin, or while there's a defensive end wrapped around his waist, or while he's having to slide to his right and throw hard to his left. Like, he can do all those things. It's what life do you want to live? What quarterback life do you want to live, and what quarterback life is going to give your team a chance to win championships? And when it's CJ Stroud, it's more of what you saw last year than holding on to the football, getting the hell beat out of you, asking your offensive line to protect for an extra 2 seconds, and passing up for sure.
Well, I think it helps the offense overall. It helps your offensive
absolutely
line.
It does.
When he is out, like, as the play, right, the play you demonstrated that you said was in your mind.
Yeah.
That is 2-3 more seconds of pass protection.
It's a quarterback.
Kenyon Green that has to do.
It's the O-line having to protect longer. It's a quarterback probably getting hit. It's you passing up for sure and hoping that somebody's open on the other side of the football field. That's it.
Listen, we gave proper praise to CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick for being able to work through all the offensive line injuries. If CJ Stroud approached the game that he is has more or less approached it this year, which is, as you said, what'd you say Emmett said, hold,
never pass up for show for some more.
Well, he's trying to get some more all the time, mm-hmm, down the
get
field.
Get your foot placement right.
Holding the ball a lot longer. Like, Austin Deculus.
I applaud that to all
I know.
I didn't think that
was just sports. Austin Deculus at left tackle is not holding up like that. George Fant at right tackle is not holding up where he's got to pass protect consistently for 4 seconds. Right, Nick Brocker, did he get some run? Like, all the guys, Dieter.
He's getting some run today because your tackles ain't practicing.
Dieter, all of them guys, Kendrick Green. Like, what helped them is, bam, he's getting them out. And that is when CJ scares the hell out of people. When he is in the pocket and he is manipulating secondary and linebacker players throughout and just hitting people right behind him, and bam, 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 they're in a rhythm, and you're like, damn, now we got him going. Please leak out the pocket. And throw on the run. So I'm just saying the positive potential to Nico being out for a couple of weeks or 4 weeks, potentially, hopefully just 4.
Ron, real
is
quick.
That he gets back to bam, bam, getting it out, because it helps the O-line and him. I think that is important. All right, coming up, a new segment here we're adding to the drive, a little stock up, stock down. What players for the Texans stock is going up? What players is it going down? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
CJ Stroud, your quarterback, is coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. We're going to hear from the quarterback as he speaks to the media today. We'll hear from him coming up here in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. So a little new segment. I got to give it, Tyler. Tyler with the thoughts here, a little stock up, stock down. And you can participate, as I'm seeing some folks already participating in here. Champ Slice says Aziz is his stock up.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So you can jump in and participate with this thing.
You had to buy that one high, though. He's pretty good when he got here.
You got one. Yeah. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. So, Tyler, I'm going to hand it on over to you, baby. Give us a little stock up, stock down, baby.
Yes, sir. This will be fun. Like Ron said, we're going to be doing this every hump day now, every Wednesday at this time, right around 3:30. So tune in, Houston. But stock up, stock down, we're talking about primarily and only Texans football players each and every week. So after 5 weeks of football, the 4-1 Texans are preparing for New England. My first question to you gentlemen is, on the offensive side of the ball, I want to go offense here. And there's one tight end in Houston playing for the Texans in particular that I think might land somewhere here for Old Dirty Red, Clint Sterner. But as far as the offensive side of the ball for these Texans after 5 weeks of play, who on the offense are you buying stock in? Who on the offense are you maybe selling? Not buying at all.
Well, it's easy for me. Any of our listeners that listened yesterday, I'm sorry. I couldn't do what I did yesterday and really feel that like deep down in my heart.
Shaq Mason, huh?
Yeah, no. Dalton Schultz stock is down for me. As I told y'all yesterday.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Tape drop Tuesday bit him in the ass, man. I'm out on Dalton Schultz. There's a handful of reasons. Super soft play overall. Super soft play. I mean, it's hard to play football with the level of softness that Dalton Schultz is showing, both in the run game and in the pass game. On top of that, last week, ball over the middle. I firmly believe a $12 million pass first, a pass receiving tight end should catch that 10 out of 10 times. So the drop and then the penalty after getting hit pretty hard there, rolling the ball, getting the penalty. You're not only soft as baby doo-doo in play, but now there's drops and there's penalties when we need them the most, when you're in a tough situation and the offense, defense is struggling in that third quarter, fourth quarter. You're not coming through. And then the overall bow on Dalton Schultz. There's nothing worse in sports, any sports. And I'm guilty of this. When I was growing up, I had a problem with this. Luckily, I had a mother that would literally ream me from the bleachers and then kick me in the ass when I got home and tell me how embarrassed she was.
I'm going to come over there and whoop that ass.
I've been this guy. Now, I was 12, but I've been this guy. The appearance of a $12 million tight end to be pouting on the field, which is without a doubt affecting his play.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than that. Now I don't know if it's really happening, but it's
I got
what
no use for you.
That woman right there. That's what it appears to be happening. So for me, Dalton Schultz, stock down, baby.
All right. I don't want to kick people in the nuts first. I want to be nice. I want to be nice. I'm not going to kick people in the nuts first. I want to go nice. So I'm gonna go my stock up. My stock up is to Xavier Hutchinson. I think Xavier Hutchinson, his stock is going up, and he is going to be the guy I think that's in the game. I'm not saying replacing Nico Collins, but I think he is going to be the primary third receiver in the game, along with Tank Dell and along with Stephon Diggs. And I liked a couple of the routes that he had and a couple of the plays he made. I think he had a couple of receptions for 19 yards, had a big one on third down. He's a big body guy. And like D'Amico just said earlier, he has gotten better and better. And outside of that top three, I think there's a serious argument coming out of training camp that Xavier Hutchinson was the best of the receivers outside of those those top three. So for me, Xavier Hutchinson, stock going up, and this is a little future play because he's going to be in the game the next 4 weeks,
okay,
at least.
That was a good buy for anybody the minute Nico got hurt.
Yeah, I see. Okay, so Ron the Show Hughley is buying stock in Xavier Hutchinson. That is Ronald the Show Hughley, a.k.a. Peaches, and Clint Sterner is obviously selling on Dalton Schultz. Y'all heard the man yesterday. Clint, is there anyone on this Texans team after 5 weeks that you are buying stock in?
Absolutely.
Anyone you're believing in right now?
Absolutely. Henry Toa Toa, a guy that I thought, kind of like Nico before he exploded, I thought I knew who Henry was. A big, old-school, downhill, hard-nosed, run-stopping linebacker that was a liability in coverage. Was I ever wrong? My man goes out there, he loses weight to be better all-around player. It's blatantly obvious when you look at him, damn sure when you watch him play. It directly affected his ability to be better, significantly better in coverage than he was, which was the liability that I was talking about. He's filled in for a guy that D'Amico Ryan says is potentially the best linebacker that he's ever coached, Christian Harris. He's filled in for him extremely well. And guys, don't look now, but Henry Toa Toa leads this team in tackles. Total tackles, Henry Toa Toa leads this team. So I don't know. I wish I would have bought stock when I was trying to drive it down, talking about how the issues that he had, because right now my man is absolutely balling, and when Christian Harris comes back, this linebacker crew is going to go from thin to deep with some real, real talent.
He's looked good. He has looked really, really good. Him staying with Dalton Kincaid was something that I didn't see. I thought that may be a problem if they would try to do that. My stock down. If John Metchie had a stock, It is shooting down, man.
How much further can it plummet?
I'm just saying, Nico Collins is injured, and I've got no confidence that he's going to hit the field.
Tank was injured,
but he was active.
He was shot.
He was active at least. I think he'll be active, but Hutchinson is going to be on the field. Robert Woods is going to be on the field. Like, that's four receivers. I don't get a sense of how John Metchie gets on the field, and one of the top receivers are going to be down for at least four more weeks. Like, that is, like, one, to think that he was going to come in here and just not dress games unless there was an injury, and now to think Hutchinson clearly has just gone past him. Robert Woods clearly has gone past him. Like, if Steven Sims wasn't fumbling and losing his mind, hell, he might have a shot. We saw Steve Sims get a play against Jacksonville when it mattered, so... For me, John Metchie, in a place where you think this could be an opportunity, his stock is going down, Clint Tyler, because I don't even know if he even is going to get an opportunity to play in this thing. So that's damn. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope John Metchie finds his way on the field, but I'm not so certain that that's going to happen. All right, that's a little stock up, stock down on the drive every Wednesday around 3:30. So stay tuned with us for that. CJ Stroud spoke to the media. We'll let you hear that coming up.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Saw some people sliding in, talking about their stock up, stock downs from the text line. Jalen Petrie, stock up. Dalton Schultz, stock down. A lot of
Dalton. Wow.
Someone said Diggs, stock down. Don't have a stock up.
Stock down. Led the team in receiving last week in a just a little win by three, huh?
Diggs was open.
Nine catches, and Nico went out and led the team, and I think five or six of them were for first down.
He said, where's he been all season?
Yeah, I think there were some big expectations that came with him, and I don't think it's unfair to think that maybe we haven't seen that level of explosiveness to date. It's not crazy.
There's something there. There's also something to Nico dominating the hell out of the ball too. So We'll see. We'll see coming up this week and moving forward over the next 4 weeks. Again, if you're just joining us, I'm sure we'll hear about this a little bit from C.J. Stroud. Nico Collins going to the IR, will miss at least 4 weeks. Will miss the game against the Patriots coming up on Sunday, against the Packers in Lambeau, coming back home against the Colts, and then finally that final game at the Jets. He will miss at the very least those four games. Hopefully that is where it stands. But let's head to NRG, hear from the cornerback, C.J. Stroud, as he talks to the media.
Well, they can. And I think Hutch will do a great job, Rob, Mitch. So, you know, definitely just next man up mentality. You got to be able to win football games without him for a little bit.
You have a good career rapport with Hutch. What have you seen from him starting from training camp up to now?
Yeah, just growth. You know, somebody who, you know, puts his head down, works continually, just really loves the game of football, wants to be coached, and really just putting good stuff on film, you know, in the run game, pass game. Things showed up for us really big in this past game. So, you know, just really good to get him going before, you know, he's about to, you know, start one or, you know, so on and so forth.
You spoke pretty highly of Drake May leading up to the draft. What do you like about his game?
I like his versatility. You know, he's very athletic. He steps up in the pocket really well. He only runs when he has to, not when he just feels like it. So, gets the ball out on time. Really, really elite with accuracy. So, you know, excited for him, his first start, and, you know, definitely looking forward to matching up against him.
As a fellow high draft pick who started as a rookie, is there any advice you would give someone in that situation?
Not this week. But no, I'm rooting him. I hope he does good, not against us, but in his future.
What about the defense of the Patriots? What have you seen? Were you looking to, what's going to be the biggest challenge?
They've been really stout, you know, so they've kind of held their team up for a while, them and their special teams, and I think they're going to start Drake, you know, just to get a good flow on offense, which, you know, will be interesting because their defense has been playing very well. Gonzalez has been playing really great. He's definitely a good man-to-man corner, does a really good job in that. And then 31 on the other side does a really good job. So they have a lot of good pieces on defense. Their D-line is big guys and play big and, you know, fill up gaps, help in the run game a lot. You know, 48 jumps off on film. He's a good player. So, you know, just all around another good defense to play against, and definitely just got to be aware of just all the stuff that they do.
Even after Nico went out, you all were really good on third down, I think like 7-for-14. Did y'all come away from the game feeling like, you know, excited about that aspect of it and something that you all felt like you all could replicate and kind of continue going forward?
Yeah, I mean, there's an upside of, you know, being good on third down on a day where you need it. But also, you know, trying to not be on third down as much is, you know, something that, you know, we can be better at. But also, you know, owning those ops and, you know, taking advantage of them and not just getting the first down but making them big plays, which I think that we did and got a lot of explosives on third down, which was great. So definitely got to keep that up. But, yeah, I feel like there was a good feel we got for what they were doing. They did a bunch of different coverages on their side, the Bills did. But, you know, same thing with the Patriots. They kind of mix up their coverages and, you know, play some man, play some zone, do a lot of different things. So just got to be aware of all of it.
You kind of indicated to us you were not happy with some of the things that the offense, maybe even you, did in the second half. How do you kind of look at that stuff, learn from it, and then push it forward so maybe next time you can grow from that and maybe not have those issues?
It's part of the game. I'm not happy about it, but I definitely wasn't, like, mad at myself. I just understood, like, try to bounce back from it. I mean, it's part of the league. Everybody is turn the ball over, everybody has done those things, but, you know, you humble yourself and realize you got to be better from it, but you don't hold your head down. So that was kind of just my mindset during that moment. And that's last week. Now we're on to New England, and that's what I'm focused on.
Stephon has been a high-volume guy before in the offense, any offense. How much does his experience and being counted on, can that help you guys?
What is this I'm saying?
Stephon. And Nico's asked, how much can Stephon be a boost for you guys?
I think he can be great. You know, I definitely think that, you know, he's already a leader, but, you know, you can tell in practice today, he knows, you know, his responsibility now, and Nico's out. So that's really all of them. You know, everybody got to step up, and even myself included, you know, to pick up the slack where, you know, Nico isn't playing. So definitely just got to hold each other accountable and just be better at that. So definitely he's going to be at the forefront of that. Honestly, I feel like it's cliche, but you know, you got to move on from it. It's definitely, you know, great to be in this position, but also, you know, I would say like we haven't played our best ball yet. So that's kind of the coolest part about it, is just we still haven't played our best, and we're still, you know, 4-1, being able to win. And really win in every single fashion. So I definitely feel like, you know, we can be a lot better. But and then we're still missing some guys out, you know, which I think will help. And that'll make it even better for our whole team. So definitely exciting. But, you know, 0-0 this week, got to play against a good New England team who I definitely think has slept on.
Can you talk about you just mentioned that everybody step up, including yourself. Drawing back to some of your experiences, maybe even to last year where you were down 11 or 2, what is required of you when you lose a key piece of just yourself and looking for
yourself? Just efficiency, execution. You know, I think those are the two main things that I think about, is just being efficient. You know, not forcing downfield, taking what the defense gives me, but also executing when the play is there, you know, making it happen. So just a little bit of everything. But I feel like I do that anyways. But, you know, the just the mindset and the intentionality needs to be ramped up even more now.
CJ, you talked a lot about Jare and his importance to this offense, but now with not having Nico out there, just knowing that he can be that security blanket that finds ways to keep drives alive, the importance of his role in the passing attack.
Yeah, Dar has been huge. You know, as you guys can tell, he's, you know, not only just a great running back, but also a good pass catcher, a great pass catcher, and, you know, does a lot of great things in pass protection as well. So definitely just, you know, I think he's just getting started as well. He'll have another great week, I feel. But yeah, he's been huge for us, definitely on third down. And you know, I definitely feel he'll continue to do that for us.
You talked about your record, you all being 4-1. How much of a role has that defense played in being 4-1 and them 2 weeks in a row going back, getting you the ball so you could put them in a position to win the game?
Man, it's been huge, you know. You know, I always talk about just playing complimenting football. You know, it comes from D'Amico, and the more we can do that, and you know, when they need to lean on us, you know, we're able to get another first down, like the Colts, you know, or do something to stay on the field. And then when you look at the last couple of games that we won, like we needed them to close it out for us or just give us the ball back, which they've done. So it's just playing complimenting football, you know, definitely is great. And I think, if you ask anybody, you know, we can definitely play better, which is the coolest thing, like I said. But, yeah, it's been huge that they've been able to do that for us.
Last one, Ken.
Can you talk about getting DP back, having just one more weapon back for you guys to work with on Sunday?
Yeah, man, it's really big. You know, I'm very happy for DP. He's worked really hard to come back. You know, it's not easy to be injured, and he's done a good job of just trusting the plan of the training staff. And, you know, he looks great at practice. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he has a great game, and I know he will. He's been working really hard. He's really motivated, so he's really big for us. All right,
that's the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, speaking to the media today. He addressed a few things. Clint, Tyler, I want to bring this to the table. Aaron Wilson reporting this. Texans rookie corner, Kamari Lassiter, dealing with an injury that could potentially sideline him this week, per league sources. Status still being determined. As he updates, Kadar Hallman, who they just signed, obviously
Holy
Stingley, Chris Boyd, D'Angelo Ross, Miles Bryant, those are the other corners on the roster. And this injury report that just came out, Clint, is getting long. Derek Barnett did not practice. Kenyon Green did not practice. Jake Hansen did not practice. Titus Howard did not practice.
Where art thou?
Kamari Lassiter, Joe Mixon did not practice. Laremy Tunsil, Jimmy Ward, Robert Woods did not practice. Hopefully some of those are some veteran ones with like Robert Woods in there. Maybe Tunsil, hopefully, or veteran days. But guys like Stephon Diggs was limited in practice today. Damian Pierce returning to practice today. So there's a lot there, but Kamari Lassiter is one to watch because reports that it could keep him out. So that's one to look at.
Yeah, I think Kamari Lassiter is the headliner there. Super concerned with Titus Howard. Still concerned with Joe Mixon. Robert Woods, a foot on a wide receiver that keeps him completely out of practice for a guy that typically understands the importance of practice throughout the week. That's a little bit of a concern. The Jimmy Ward part doesn't look good. But I think for the most part, man, you look at the offensive side of the football. How are you going to get better running the football? Time together, time on task, together on task. How are you going to get better running the football when you got three of your starting five offensive linemen that aren't practicing? Your starting running back's not
right.
Practicing.
Kenyon
your backup
Green,
running back's limited.
Yeah, Kenyon
no,
Green. Did I say him?
Yeah,
all right, I didn't know if I said
yeah, I mean, so it's just, it's like, that's my deal is there's some individuals that I'm really concerned about, just big picture. The landscape or the challenge for the Texans changes if you're missing a couple of these guys on the offensive side of the football. Obviously, Kamari Lassiter is, if you had Jeff Okuda sitting in the wings, you'd be okay. You feel like you'd at least have answers, you know, but that didn't work out because of injury. C.J. Henderson, I don't know what the hell happened. He was injured during camp, but I don't know what happened there in terms of it just not panning out. You'd feel good. The depth at corner is clearly a problem, and Kamari being out, not practicing today, is definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, so that's one to watch. We'll keep you updated more. We hear about the injury stuff there, but as someone texted in, are you sure they practiced today? Yeah, I think so. I think they've got some.
I mean, the Texans did.
Practice?
The Texans did.
A few of them were out, but yeah, they did practice. Yeah. Also, on the text line, can we get a happy birthday shout out to my son, Aiden Garcia, from his dad, Corey Garcia?
Happy birthday, Aiden!
That's right. Happy birthday, Aiden. That was
a legit shout out.
Sorry, I came in a little hot.
Shout out, man. Oh, man. That's good. That's good. Aiden, happy birthday, Corey. Happy birthday to your son. And get him something nice. Not just some damn cupcakes to blow candles out. Get him a fake chain or something. Get him a fake chain with an A on it or something.
Magnet
like
earring.
Gold or something. Like magnet earring, yeah. Get him a grill or something on the bottom.
Remind me to tell you a story about this time my mom almost whooped my ass because she thought I got my ear pierced. But it was a magnet.
I don't think. I just don't see that from your mom. What you got coming up?
What?
Hey, what seems to be one of the biggest stories in sports right now, Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh, the New York Jets head coach, gets fired. Aaron Rodgers joined Pat McAfee today. Adam Schefter joined Pat McAfee today. And they shed a little light on what appears to be one of the more talked about storylines in all of sports. And, boy, there sure seems to be a lot of hate out there for one man named Aaron Rodgers. We'll clear the air here next on Sports Radio 16. Get you caught up on exactly the words from him as well as Adam Schefter. Get a little more detail on what the hell's going on up in New York.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.